Please be seated. Well, good morning, church. I am so thankful for this chance to worship together. We worship this morning. We are gathered in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is actually stirring and moving right here amongst us, isn't it? You know, growing up, my mom always stressed the importance of getting enough sleep. I still like to get enough sleep. Last night was a good night, right? Extra hour of sleep. But there are still times I wake up during the night. If I wake up during the night and I can't get back to sleep, I don't really worry about it anymore. If I have something on my mind, I just write it down. I can get back to sleep because I know it'll be there in the morning if I need to worry about it some more. If I wake up and I'm not thinking about other things, I had a friend, Sam. He was 101 years old, and he taught me to actually cherish these times. He taught me that if I wake up in the middle of the night, it's a great chance just to press into God's presence. Sam actually had labeled these times, he labeled them quiet times with God. It's not a time when we're telling God what we want, what we think we need. Instead, it's just a time to press into God's presence, to praise God, to be thankful, and to listen for Him speaking to us in the night. Well, this morning we're thinking about pressing into God's presence. We're thinking about pressing in and maybe even wrestling with God. It's Consecration Sunday, so we press into God's presence and we wrestle with who we are as people of faith. Let's pray. Well, holy and mighty God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations on each of our hearts this morning, may they be acceptable in your sight because you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. So Jacob, in this morning's scripture, he can't sleep. He's having a restless night. Remember Jacob? Jacob was the guy who tricked his dying father, Isaac. He cheated his older brother. He stole his brother's birthright and his blessing. It had happened years earlier, but he had never really faced Esau over it. And in today's scripture, it's looking like maybe the time is coming. He's going to be meeting Esau face to face for the first time since he had ripped Esau off. So it's the night before this anticipated showdown. And hear what it sounds like in a reading from Genesis chapter 32.
During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servants' wives, and his 11 sons, and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking everybody, them, to the other side, he sent over all his possessions.
So Jacob's restless night, it's turned into a restless night for everyone, hasn't it? Jacob's planning, he's preparing to minimize his losses. He's anticipating this meeting with Esau, his brother, and in his mind it has the potential to get ugly.
This left Jacob alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob."
Remember Jacob meaning deceiver.
The man told him, "From now on, you will be called Israel."
Israel, meaning one walking with God, one struggling with God.
"From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won."
So let's pause here for a moment. Jacob's having this restless night. Jacob finds himself in this epic wrestling match. And they're tossing and turning, and so let's hear how it turns out.
"Please, tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip.
So three ideas get tossed around about what maybe who Jacob was wrestling with that night. You know, there's the thought that maybe Jacob was wrestling with a guy who was just a stranger in the night, a guy wandering by. But we're pretty sure that's not the case, aren't we? Some say this was an angel of the Lord. But in verse 30, we see there is no question in Jacob's mind who he'd been wrestling with.
Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared."
So if you're familiar with this scripture, have you ever wondered, you know, Jacob's in this wrestling match with God, and if God is so powerful, why didn't God just spin Jacob upside down, put him in a half Nelson, make him cry uncle, and then be on his way? God could have, but that wasn't God's purpose here, was it? God knows that sometimes we have to work through the struggle, sometimes we have to wrestle to have a change of heart, or so we can live into something new. God the power, and God the God of power, the God of wisdom, this God knows us and knows it just isn't about overpowering us and making us cry uncle. God knows sometimes we have to struggle. Sometimes we have to wrestle with. Sometimes this is about our need to examine and maybe even change our hearts. Jacob needed more than just getting thrown to the ground and quitting. Jacob needed to wrestle with who he was and how he lived. You know, we have a God who doesn't shy away from the mess, don't we? We see that God entered right into the mess with Jacob. At first, Jacob just wanted to grab and to clutch and to hang on, but God demanded more from Jacob. Jacob had to struggle with who he was. Jacob had to struggle with continuing to become the man God had created him to be. When the dawn broke after the night pressing into God's presence, Jacob emerged. He was a changed man. He had a limp, and his heart was continuing to transform. You know, Jacob may have cheated his earthly father years ago, but Jacob wasn't going to be able to cheat his heavenly father, was he? So can you picture that? Over the course of the night, Jacob learned that it doesn't work to wrestle against God. But he also learned that sometimes it's okay, it can even be helpful to wrestle with God. Just be advised that if we're going to wrestle with God, just a reminder, we're not going to change God, right? If we're going to wrestle with God, I actually think we should. I think we should wrestle with God. If we're going to wrestle with God, and if we're going to faithfully merge, we will be changed in the process. Let's keep in mind, too, that some of you are wrestlers here this morning. Some of you know how demanding wrestling is. It's hard. At times, it can even cross into painful. Yet we remember the choir anthem from a couple weeks ago. Sometimes it's in the raindrops that we find the blessing. Sometimes it's in the struggle, it's in the wrestling match that we come to a place where God can actually continue to mold and transform us. And let's be clear, too, that if we're going to wrestle with God, if we're going to wrestle with God, there's only one way we can win the struggle. And on the surface, it seems countercultural. It seems upside down, because the only way we can win that wrestling match with God is by losing. We have to give in. We have to humble ourselves. We have to submit to the one who is greater than each of us. We're not talking about hands off and letting go. We're talking about giving in and hanging on. We're talking about offering God our whole selves, our hearts, our minds, everything. And in the process, we are continually made and remade. Through the process, we grow. More and more, we're remade into the image of Christ shining into the world. Friends, we have to wrestle with God in so many aspects of our life. This morning, as we consecrate, as we dedicate our estimates of giving to the work of Jesus, we wrestle with God. We thank God for His overwhelming generosity in our lives. We thank God for His life-saving work through Jesus Christ. We wrestle with God, striving to hang on so God can continue to work on us. And hanging on, we can give in, grounded in the power of the Almighty. And we can get that taste of victory. We can taste that victory in Jesus, where we continue to tell about that old story, how a Savior came from glory. We're talking about God's generosity in our lives through Jesus Christ. Did you know that money has been the number one god, false god? Money's been the number one false god for humanity for centuries. Jesus talked about it all the time. And at the same time, just about anything can be a false god for us, can it? Our exercise or our eating can become false gods for us. Our cars or our need for knowledge can become a false god if we let it. Our looks, sex, alcohol, our work habits, even our religion. Even our religion has a potential to be a false god for us. Maybe think about the Pharisees on the street corner, drawing attention to themselves, looking down on others in the process. Did you know that there's also something competing with money to be the number one false god in our culture? There are people right now in our culture who will pay their phone bill before they make sure they have enough food on the table at the end of the month. For some of us, we wrestle with our technology. Our technology is competing with our money for some of us to be the number one false god in our lives. You know, early in my pastoral ministry, I used to dread talking about money. It can be a hot button, a button-pushing issue, can it? Yet I had to wrestle with it. I had to come to the understanding that if we don't talk about money as an issue of faith, if we don't talk about money as something we can invest for the kingdom of God, or as something that can tug us away from God, then I'm not being faithful to God's call in my life. Friends, we have to wrestle with it. This is between each of us and God. This is about our hearts, and this is about our worship. This morning we prepare to come to the Lord's table, and we wrestle with God, wrestling with the idea of committing or recommitting our lives to following Jesus. It was actually after the Passover celebration, after the communion, the first communion, that we learn about Jesus in a struggle, in a wrestling match, having this conversation with God. After communion, Jesus went up to the Garden of Gethsemane and he got down on his knees. He was visiting with God, praying, and he was wrestling with it, saying, God, I don't want to go to the cross. But ultimately, he confessed, it's not my will, but thy will be done. Before that, it was the Passover celebration where Jesus and his closest friends, they were sharing the Passover feast together. And it was during that feast where Jesus, well, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples saying, this is my body, it's broken for you. Take and eat it and do it in remembrance of me. And then when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He blessed it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, drink from this, each of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. This is the beginning of a new holy promise. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink from this in remembrance of me. And so we pray, remembering God's mighty acts in Jesus Christ. We pray that God will pour out his Spirit on each of us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that we might be for the world the body and the blood of Christ. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ, people redeemed by his blood. Together, we come to connect and reconnect with you, O God. Together we come to wrestle with being the people you created us to be. Together we come celebrating, seeking forgiveness and healing. So this morning, as we celebrate